Once again, good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Oh, we can say better than that. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Yes, the people online needs to know that we are not just two or three here. We have a good representation of our church family here, and we are very blessed that you chose to be with us. Now let me remove the mask so the sound can become... We have a few brothers and sisters that are online via teleconference. And so some of the things that we usually do here when we don't have that service, we have to be very detailed about what we say so that because they cannot see. So we need to give all the details for them. Today, it is a happy Sabbath. Now, I don't know if you have ever... know any unhappy Sabbath. All Sabbaths that I know have been happy. Why? Because it is the day when the Lord allows us to forget our worries, forget all those things, and only have an attitude of gratitude. I call the GR attitude. A great redemption. God redeems. That's a GR attitude. We needed to have that. And after a year and a half, as was mentioned here before, we are grateful to my brother Kisaka, Sister Helene, and all the deacons, the team, and everyone who put effort to make it possible that we have this open today. And so we, again, thank them very much because you have no idea how busy they have been. You know, they have been here in the church many times. Have you noticed how clean, how... is beautiful, and we, as a church, we purchased two machines also to be used, and the machine is here, they are already here, and so it just need to be installed, and so everything is working as planned, and God is good. Amen. All right? And by the way, I put this since Genesis 2:2, so if you want to find out how long the Sabbath has been happy, since Genesis 2:2. Okay? Why the title? Probably by now you know, right? The open door. Because the last sermon that we preached here was the shut door. At that time, we had no idea. No idea. We had no clue that what was going to happen about the pandemic. And so we preached that sermon. And one member even called my attention, said, Pastor, do you realize that the last sermon that you preached was the shut door? And that's when the door was closed. Now we said we need to make arrangements to have a message on the open door. Now, I don't know, you do not know this, of course, but the background of the word open door is actually the Bible. The same Bible that you see below. It is the same that I use. I put behind the words. And so behind the open door, there is the real open door, which is the Bible. Okay, so that's why the title, it looks like that. Now, many of you, I brought this once for you, if some of you are familiar, the word opportunity. Now, the word opportunity, it is a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. That's what the dictionary tells us. But let's look at the word, the etymology of the word. Op, the first part of the word, because this is a word composed of many parts. It has to do with in front of, towards, or open. That's actually, when you hear the word opportunity, means an opening. Every single time you hear the word opportunity means something has been opened. This is a chance for you to do something with that opportunity. So, the door. Port. That means, some of you speak Spanish, they know that a porta, port, it means a door. Like a port, when all the ship comes, that's the door. It's a place when you come in. And so, what is the word all about. So basically opportunity literally means an open door. That's what opportunity means. And so every single time that you stand at the door having opportunity, you know that the door is open. Open door. Now, why do I have that light? Because God is the one who provides us the best opportunities that we're looking for. That's why. Now, you have seen this slide before. I have used for a while, then I stopped using, but this is a wonderful day.
Amen.
It's getting better. This is a wonderful day.
Amen.
Yes, it is. Why? I have never seen it before, and I never will see it again. So use this opportunity as God intended to be. Glorify Him in every choice you make, because this is the day that the Lord has made for us to be happy, to be glad. The word Sabbath is supposed to be a celebration. If you go to a Jewish home on the Sabbath, when those that practice Judaism, Sabbath is the best day for the children. Says that's the best day of the week, because it's when they celebrate. So should we celebrate? But there is another reason why this is the best day. Here's the reason. Every new day is an open door. Every Sabbath is an open door. And we will discuss this during this message. What can we use this open door? Now, God has given us the gift of life. Amen?
Amen.
There's nothing more precious than the gift of life. The gift of life is just in sequence many open doors. Every single day, open doors. So everything you do, everything you choose to do in your life is a sequence of open doors. Some people say, oh, but there are some doors that are closed. Sometimes all you need to do is to be a little bit more persistent. Knock. Jesus Christ talks about the person who was very persistent. And because that person was persistent, the judge listened to the case. So it's important. Opportunity is important. But persistence needs to go with opportunity. If there is opportunity, but you have no persistence, you may miss the chance. Okay? Now, there are doors that may not open. But if you keep looking, one will. And the Lord always will provide that opportunity for you. An open door. There is one open door that we all, every single time, every single day of our lives, we have to be thinking about. And that is the door that Jesus Christ has ready for us. The gate. You know, the expression, the old expression, they call it the gate. But the door, the main door of the New Jerusalem, and that is in the sky, is a symbolic to us that opportunity that is waiting for us. Only one door that we need. What is the door, the most important door that we must, all of us, need to look into it? It is Jesus Christ Himself. He said, I am the door. When He talks about this book, He tells us for us to examine, to study this book, because it says, this is the book that testifies about me. And once I mentioned this a few times already, you will hear it again. I was a teenager a few days ago. And we were in a chapel service. And it was a Thursday. And to the front came the principal for the whole school. He was a very short man. But that man has an energy. I have no idea what kind of battery he used, but he had an energy amazing the way he was. So he came in front before the service started, and he made a statement. He said to all the students here, and all the students were present, because we had to be present, we would be in trouble if we were not. Everyone were there, and the teachers as well, and some families. And he said, if one of you give me, or any of you give me, what is the main word, the principal word in the Bible, I'll give you a passing 100, A plus in my classes, and also in my wife's classes. they taught Portuguese. Some of you may think when you go to school that English is difficult. Sit for half an hour listening to a Portuguese class and you're going to say, wow, it is very complicated. And they try to simplify the language, but it's very difficult. And so it was the hardest subject for us. And when he said this, wow, you know, took us, we were all anxious to find out, what is that word? And to make things worse, he said, you can ask the teachers, anyone here, you can ask somebody else. The one who gives me the right word will get A+ for the whole year in our classes, both my wife and my classes. Nobody got the answer, not even with the help of the teachers. And the answer was so obvious. And you notice, when things are so obvious, sometimes more difficult for us to see. When it's so close to our eyes, we lose the perspective of it. We don't see. And the word is life. Somebody may say, oh, Jesus. Of course, Jesus says, I am life. But the word that you see from Genesis to Revelation, the whole word of God is about life. Our entire relationship with God is about life. Every opportunity in this life has to do about life. And so Jesus Christ says, I am the door. I am that opportunity that you're looking for. Come, go through. And the person who enters through me, he says, the person who comes and accepts this invitation to come through this door, he says, will be saved. Be saved means will have life. And will be able to come in and to go out and find pasture. Pasture here means find nutrition, which is sustains life. So in other words, you'll be forever alive. Galatians 6 verse 10, a New Century Version says, when we have the opportunity to help anyone, don't pass. God is going to sometimes open opportunities for others. And before God, you will become that opportunity that God wants to use for somebody else. You become that open door for somebody else. How many people are there desperate to know the answer for some problems in their lives? And you are the open door that God has chosen. You are that opportunity for that person. So when somebody needs you, be the open door. Do you know whether you call yourself a Christian? Do you know actually what you're saying? Jesus said, I am the door. Therefore, you're saying, I am the door too. Of course, it's not a door, but I am the door too, because everyone who follows Christ, it is a Christian. So everyone who goes through the door becomes a door themselves. So you are an opportunity for others. What it says there? When you have opportunity, what you should do? We should do it. Don't pass on. Do you know that somebody today are worshiping the Seventh-day Adventist Church, are happy because somebody, one of you went and he spoke to them about Christ and they heard? So you used that opportunity. You became that open door. But we should give special attention to those who are in a family of believers. First, those that are believe like us, but we should reach to others as well. Jesus Christ said in John 9, verse 4, New Century Version as well, while it is daytime, we must continue doing the work of the one who sent. God sent Jesus. Jesus sends us. He is the door. We must become a door for others as well. I don't know how many of you got in the phone and invite somebody to come here today. If you haven't done, you still have next week. Alright? There is another opportunity. The door won't be closed. By God's grace, we hope, we pray. This day and age, we cannot say anything for sure. But we are hoping to have communion next Sabbath. And so please Get to the phone. Become that open door. Give someone an opportunity to come. Don't be afraid. Night is coming when no one can work. So now the door is open. Now we have still the freedom. And you notice with this pandemic how many of our freedoms were put at risk and how many out there is still thinking about taking some of our freedoms away with the excuse that this is all for your own good. The devil never changed his game, and he will use the same thing again. And we have some text about this in this message. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, in the New Century Version, Paul writing, preach the good news. Yes, tell people the good news. Some people preach the good news as is the bitter news, as the fake news. When you preach about the good news, remember, you're not trying to change somebody. You're trying to give somebody the choice to change. It is different. Sometimes we preach to other people like you. It is our role to change them. God did not give you such a responsibility. You cannot change anybody. You cannot change somebody that lives in your own home. We cannot change anyone. All that we have to do is to be that open door. We need to provide that opportunity. And the person will choose. And the person will be also responsible for whatever choice that person makes. Be ready at all times. They say in Brazil, they say that opportunity is bald or very few hairs. So in other words, it's hard to grab. So opportunity comes, grab it. Don't let it go. At all times, tell people what they need to do. Some of us are so kind. We are so kind, so such a wonderful Christian we are, that we rather have the person be lost than be bothered by some reprimand. When you reprimand someone because you love them, that is an opportunity to rescue that person. And Jesus Christ tells us, be that open door. Tell that person, you must change. You need to change. Let's pray. I'll be praying with you. Let's work together, but you need to change. You need to be saved. You cannot allow yourself to go that direction. Tell them when they are wrong. Yes, some today, we have seen people that are, even parents cannot tell their children what to do. We live in a world that you call the hospital to know if your child is okay, or your child is over age, you need permission. But I pay the bills. It doesn't matter. You have to have permission. They have so much control about what rights do we have. And we live in a society that nobody can tell anybody what is wrong. Everybody would like to be free to do whatever they want, as they call the new normal, which is not normal at all. Encourage them with great patience and careful. Oh, let me repeat this. Great patience and careful teaching. I gave my study to a family. I mentioned this to you also before. For 3.5 years, the person who gave Bible study with me every week said, Pastor, it's time for us to move on. These people never going to become Seventh-day Adventists. They love the Catholic Church too much. They like the parties. They like those things. They're never going to change. I said, as long as the door is open, we have an obligation to come. He's a church elder today. He has been for close to 30 years a member of our faith. So his wife, and I remember their baptism, like was one of those days that if you don't believe in miracles, I saw some. Colossians 4, verse 5, New Century Version says, be wise in the way you act with people who are not believers. Be wise. Be wise as you approach them. Remember, you need to be an open door, an inviting door. People need to see Christ in you, the love, and do the most for every opportunity that you receive. Jeremiah 8, verse 20, New King James. This is the text that a young man said once. It says he was about to die, and when the mother and the pastor kept talking to him to ask him to accept Jesus, he kept repeating this. This is one verse that he memorized. He said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and he said, and I am not saved. And the pastor begged with him, his mother begged with him, and he kept repeating the same thing. The harvest is past, the summer is ended. This is a person, this text reflected when people lose their perspective. They don't think there is open door anymore. They see everything negative. And he says, it's gone. There's no time for me to be saved anymore. A wise son harvests in the summer. Where are the boys here? Look at it. This is what's written just for you boys. A wise son harvests, that applies for the girls too. A wise son harvests in the summer, and a disgraceful child sleeps right through the harvest. Let mom and dad do this or play my video games instead. No, no. In Proverbs 31, ladies, you know what Proverbs 31 is. It's about the intelligent, the wise woman. I chose this, the verse 26, New Living Translation, which says, when she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions. How? With kindness. Oh, ladies, you can have the whole world in your hands if you just use the typical kindness, that a talent that the Lord has given to you. You'll be able to mold the world. Now, this individual here, we have somebody here who has the same name. Do you know who he is? This was an individual that everybody in his time thought that he lost his marbles.
Noah,
yes. He started to preach about rain. But not just a little bit of rain, but so much rain that it was going to fill the whole earth. Now tell me, let's give these people a break. How would you feel if somebody would come with the same idea when you have nobody ever seen the rain ever before? Remember those days they didn't have a rain. There was just a moisture there irrigated the ground. And this individual comes and tells those things. Not only that, but he goes and gets all his property. He hires a lot of people and he starts building a boat in a dry land. There was not even a lake or water or any close by. And he starts saying, the end is coming. The door is open, but it will be open only for 120 years. Even the people that he hired, even the people that he paid to work on this boat every single day, they were not there to get in. They helped to build the door. They saw that door open for 120 years. They heard all the sermons. They knew where salvation was. And yet they chose not to believe. They did not embrace the opportunity. 120 years, the door was open. The animals, they came. I said this, and I noticed that it could be a bad joke, but I said this once. It says, the people who have the brains did not come. Those that have less brain decide to take their place. So when the holy ones did not come, the beasts came in and took their place. And they came. Why the beasts came? Because God told them to come. And they knew where to go. But the humans that were got the privilege to have a wisdom, they chose not to come. Only 8 people were there. But you know why that door was kept open until the day the destruction came? Because the door was inside. What did you say, Pastor? The 8 people, they were there to keep the door open, meaning the seed of the Messiah. When you see that door closing, the door was closed not to deny somebody an opportunity. The door was closed to make sure that the open door, the seed of the Messiah, was kept alive, so that your door will be open, so that you have opportunity to be saved as well. The wages of sin came. Some people say, oh, that was an act of God. No, that was the wages of sin. A destruction that came because sin was there. And the rain was on earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know what that is? You know what 40 days and 40 nights is? Quarantine. Yes, the quarantine. That was exactly what it is. Every living thing on the face of the earth died. There was complete death everywhere. And that's exactly what sin does. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. Brothers and sisters, I put this in yellow because I want you to memorize this part. Do you know why? Because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Everything will repeat. Pay attention to those words because you will hear them again in your own life. In your own lives. Only Noah's left and those within the ark. This is the ark. This is the ark. This is what God has prepared for the time to the last days. The door was opening. And they left. There was a rainbow in the sky. Do you know what the interesting about the rainbow? 7 colors. 7. And there they are. You can only see a rainbow. And this is very important for each other to understand. You can only see a rainbow if the rain is in front of you and the sun. And I like to say S-O-N. Disaster is in ahead of you, but you have someone watching your back. That's when you see the rainbow and you're reminded, oh, the open door is right behind me, so I'm okay. And as we go through this crisis, because we are not out of it yet, we have to remember this. The sun is always behind us. S-O-N is always behind us, watching our back. Of course, Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39 says, and this is the New King James Version, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And he continued by saying, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. I don't know about you folks, but I went to some places and I see people. I'm not talking about now, because now it's more relaxed. People have a different attitude. But right from the beginning, we see people that it looks like they couldn't care less what was happening. And that's very sad, because that is the attitude, indifference. Indifference to danger. God gave us the wisdom to use that wisdom and to preserve life. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving themselves into marriage. You know, marrying, we understand what that is. But giving themselves into marriage, that means some other perversions that they did. Until the day when Noah entered the ark, because the door was still open. But they did not come with Noah. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also be when Jesus Christ comes. Now the difference is that we were not there when Noah went through that experience. But his experience will be repeated again. And this time, you'll be part of the picture. You'll be part of the picture. Our church, it is an open door. We, as the Bible Church, represent the open door. A woman and her remnant, the door. The remnant is the open door to the last days. The people of God will continue insisting and for us to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go a little bit faster here. Revelation 14, verse 12, we all know, here is the patience of the saints and those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I like to say this verse like says, here are those that keep the door open, the scripture door open. And the dragon, of course, is always fighting those that stand for what is true. And the remnant and her seed was persecuted by the dragon. And for 1,200 years, we're persecuted with the remnant who keeps the commandment of God and also have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Literally, the door, the open door. Now, in Babylon, they went through the test. They were forced to bow down, but they did not. Some did. And the same thing will be in the days, the last days. Some will bow down. Now, one of the most common things for us as Seventh-day Adventists is to hear about the Sabbath. I'm going to say something here that some of you are not going to be very happy about. And I'm not going to apologize for it because I have no choice, but I have to say. We Seventh-day Adventists talk about the Sabbath to everybody. Every opportunity we have. But do you know that one of the most vulnerable part of Seventh-day Adventism is the Sabbath? Sometimes we come to church, and after we come to church, Sabbath is over. Our conversations go back to things like football or picnic or other things. We have to be very careful, brothers and sisters, because we cannot be found guilty of the same things that we're supposed to be teaching others about. Don't keep the Sabbath as an instrument to be saved. Observe the Sabbath because the Sabbath is an open door. An open door for you to visit Abba. An open door for Abba to come and visit you. That's what the Sabbath is. I could have preached the whole sermon just about the open door using the Sabbath as the symbol of it. The Sabbath is the open door. It's an invitation to go and see Abba and for Abba to come and see you. Isaiah 58 verse 13, please read this as a Seventh-day Adventist a few times. Read it with your children. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight in the holy day of the Lord honorable. When is sunset? When can I turn on the TV? Mom, is it sunset yet? Oh, my. And shall honor him, not doing your own ways and not finding your own pleasure. And here's the difficult one. Not speaking your own words of my holy. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Then if you look at the first part, the 13, verse 13, then you realize that, then you delight yourself. That's the first part. Now quickly, Judas also used an opportunity. But instead of using an opportunity to go through the door, he used his opportunity to betray Jesus. I hope that you use your open door as an opportunity to do something great, not to do something bad. Money was all that he cared about. When you receive a blessing from the Lord, don't put money more important than your loyalty to God. Don't do that, brothers and sisters. Don't betray. When you receive a blessing, a check in your hand, that is an opportunity for you to show who is the Lord of your life. Don't use that opportunity to betray Jesus and his church. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity. All he was obsessed with opportunity to do what is wrong. There was two people there in front of, beside Jesus. Both of them received equal opportunity. Yeah, God is an equal opportunity fellow. One decided to speak against Jesus. The other one says, okay, I'll go along. And then they went along for a while. But then one realized, this is my opportunity. I see before me an open door. I don't have to be a loser. I don't have to be bitter. I want to be better. And so he embraced an opportunity. He told the open door, open door. I'm going to go through. Would you accept me? He says, yes, you'll be with me in the paradise. And you know, to get to paradise, you have to go through the open door. There's no back door to go to paradise, brothers and sisters. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave an open door. For anyone who chooses to believe and go through that door will not perish but have everlasting life. We are almost done, brothers and sisters. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. By the way, which church do we represent in the seven churches of our Revelation? By the way, you may give me the wrong answer. Be careful. Which church do we represent on the seven churches of Revelation? Some of you say Laodicea. You don't have to. Do you know that those seven churches, they were actually all in the same time? We'll preach about this another time, okay? It is how we choose to live our Christian life that tells me which church do I belong. So don't tell yourself that you belong to Laodicea unless your attitude is a Laodicean attitude. Then you are a member of the Laodicea. I am not. I have never been a member of the Laodicea church. Never. I don't even know any members from the Laodicea church. I have never met them. I have met members of Philadelphia. I have met some members from Ephesus. But I don't know members from the Sardis church. I don't know them. I met maybe some of them, but I don't know them. So I decided to put this here for you because look at the screen now. Everyone look at the screen. And if somebody beside you is taking just a short nap, just tell them, not rest yet. Just give them a, says, write this letter to the angel of the church. In other words, this letter has been written to the pastor in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the brotherly love. So I think we all can join this church, right? We can be part of it. It says, this is the message from the one who is holy and true. The one who has the key of David, the true Messiah, the true open door. The one who has come from the lineage of kings. This is the King of Kings. The one who has the key to open and nobody can close. He opens and no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. And this is what I'd like you to look at this. In Revelation 3, verse 8, it says, I know all the things you do. This is the Lord speaking to you, Vista. That's why I put through the door, to the open door, it is you behind that door. And it's with you that he's talking. Can you see his hand is talking to you? He says, I know all the things you do. I have opened the door. I have opened the door because I am the open door for you that no one can close. You have a little strength, yes. Yet you obey my word. Therefore, that means you are strong. Don't worry about the numbers. Worried about the conviction, the power that you have that comes from the word. And did not deny me. I pray that this will be always true about the open door in Vista. I pray that each one of you will be always that open door. Why? Because you get strength in the word. And because you do not deny the open door, Jesus Christ himself. But he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, behold, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear his voice, please open. I will come in, he said, and I'll be with you, I'll dine with you, and you will dine with me. I hope, brothers and sisters, that today, as always, you remain the open door. In order for you to be open door, you have to go through Jesus Christ, the open door. I hope when Jesus Christ comes, he invites you and I, you'll be there. 3 o'clock, the right side of the tree of life. I need to see you there. By God's grace, I hope to be there too.